Would you turn your scriptures to Malachi chapter 3? I thought about announcing our topic tonight. It's the next thing. And then I had second thoughts because it's about tithing. And I thought, if I announce I'm going to talk about tithing tonight, a lot of folks will stay home. Well, somehow the word must have got out. Don't know how it did. I don't know how that works. Amen. Praise God. I think I'm so thankful for our Wednesday night crowd. And you put up with a lot of preaching and teaching you may not need, but it helps us to get it on the audio. And your amening in support of that means a lot. I'm going to go ahead and read these verses. Being our study night, you can remain seated. Just the verses we're going to cover, just a few of them. And remember, this is our series Bible study in the book of Malachi, Finding Your Fire. I don't speak this critically at all. It's not a critical statement. But I was talking to a pastor this afternoon, and he asked me what I was teaching on Wednesday night, and I told him the Old Testament book of Malachi, and he said, and he's been in the ministry just about as long as I have, he said, I don't think I've ever done a Bible study from the Old Testament. And I'm afraid a lot of places and people are missing out on the tremendous truths that are in the Old Testament. Can you say amen? So let me read this. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? This is God speaking. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And just a side note here, very important. This Lord of hosts, host means the armies of heaven. The commander of the armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts. How many knows he's the commander of the armies of heaven? So tonight we're going to talk about tithing and spiritual fire. Here it is. What's the connection between tithing and spiritual fire? Now, Brother Sam Norvell, he had this thing every Sunday morning. We walked in and he shook my hand, or just about every Sunday morning. He'd say, Pastor, what are you going to preach on this morning? And before I could answer, he'd give me the answer. Tithes and offerings? Tithes and offerings? So I could tell you, Brother Sam Norvell would have loved this tonight. So I'm just going to dedicate it to him. Could I do that? Dedicate this message to him. Most people don't even know Malachi's in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Christians. And if they know it's there, about the only thing they know about the book of Malachi is the verses I read tonight. They know that Malachi is the book that has those hard, straightforward verses about tithing. The sad thing is, even with that, most Christians get what tithing is all about. They get it very wrong. They just don't get a grasp on what tithing is all about. Did you know many Christians see tithing as the premier command? Tithing is a command. You give a tenth to God, and they see it in a light that it's a decider of heaven or hell. You pay your tithes, you go to heaven. You don't pay your tithes, you go to hell. I have been surprised throughout my ministry of sinner folks that will pay their tithes because they see tithing as this premier command of God that is the decider. Now, don't get me wrong. If they want to pay their tithes, we won't refuse it, right? But their idea is wrong, that it's just this weighty command that you're in trouble if you don't pay your tithes. You're going to have it coming to you if you don't pay your tithes. Now, I appreciate that dedication. I've been in the hospital when people were about to pass away and they were concerned whether or not their tithes were going to get paid. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that kind of dedication. But tithing is not this burdensome commandment hanging over as it says, you better do this. Secondly, a lot of Christians get it wrong because they see tithing is a way to work the system. Tithing is a way you can work the system and tap into the blessings of God. You get this tithing thing right, and oh, you're going to get blessed. Your bank account's going to go up. Your car's going to, you're going to get a better, newer car, et cetera, et cetera. I know I've told this in years past, but when Andrew was quite young, we always gave him an allowance so they can learn how to use their money. And I don't know what it was then, $2, $3. And we were in a mission service on a Sunday night, and God got a hold of Andrew to give his allowance for that week. So he gave his whole allowance in the offering. Monday morning, before the missionary left town, he stopped over at the parsonage, and we talked a while. And when he was leaving, and we were all out in the yard, he gave Andrew a $20 bill. And Andrew came in the house with the $20 bill like this, going, it works, it works, it really works. I gave my allowance last night, and I got $20 back today. Did you know some Christians look at tithing simply in those terms, a way to work the system of God and get blessed? There's a third way that people look at tithing that's not right, and that is to simply see tithing as a leftover thing that's antiquated, just has nothing to do with anything except Israel, the nation of Israel, and its government and its worship, and that's all Old Testament, and that's all law. It's over with. It's done. Let's move on to something else. But I'd like to say tonight, tithing is none of those things. And people really miss out by believing those things. They miss out what God is saying about tithing. And just to enunciate what I'm saying, first of all, tithing isn't just about good stewardship. It is, but it's not just about stewardship. Tithing isn't about getting zapped by God if you don't do it. Tithing isn't just a way to get God to bless you. And tithing isn't just an old-fashioned law that we can forget about. What we're going to see is tithing is completely tied to our worship. It's tied to whether or not we have fire for God in our hearts. And we're only going to get this if we look at the context of our passage tonight. So let's do this quickly. First of all, what was God saying? All this talk about tithing, what is he saying? Well, look at verse 6. We've got to go back to that. God says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The people have lost their fire for worship. And they begin to blame God and said, the reason we've lost our fire is because, God, you've not kept your promises. You're no longer faithful. You've changed, God. You said you'd come, you haven't come. You said you'd send glory, you haven't sent. You said you'd bless us, you haven't done it. God, you've changed. You're no longer faithful. God says back to them, no, I haven't changed. And you ought to know that I haven't changed. Because if I had quit being merciful like I've always been, and if I'd quit being long-suffering like I've always been, you would have already been obliterated and consumed. You ought to know that I haven't changed because I was merciful to you yet another day. But God says, in fact, it's not me that has changed, he says to the people of God. It's you that have changed. You've quit worshiping me with all your heart. You've quit serving me in dedication. You've started breaking my commandments again. And then we go to verse 7. Look what he says of them. He said, from the days of your father, you have gone astray. God tells them they are the problem. They're the reason they have no fire. They're the reason that they have no fervency in the worship. And it's because they've distanced themselves from God. They've moved away from God. So God tells them their problem. In fact, God, it's really clever if you read this. God says, neither of us have changed. I'm still showing mercy, and you are still rebelling. That's what those verses said that I've read. God said, no one's changed. I'm still showing you mercy, and you're still rebelling against my commandment. And he says to them, yet once again, you've allowed your choices and your lifestyle to distance you. Where's that distance coming in at? It's right here in this verse. You have gone away. You've distanced yourself from me and my ordinances. And then look what God says to them. He says, return unto me. Now, you've got to understand something in the Old Testament. And this is what we do in Bible study. We get to these things that can really mean something later on if we'll get a grip on them. In the Old Testament, this word for return is the complete meaning of it is to repent. You cannot separate in the Old Testament the idea of returning to God and repenting. And that's why I'd like to say one more time, and I've said it many times, repentance, to repent of your sins, is not something God makes you do, a hoop God makes you jump through before he takes you back. It's simply this. Repentance is the way a person returns to God. Repentance is the way to God. There is no other way to God except when we repent. That's why God said, you've distanced yourself from me, and I'm calling upon you to return. Cover the distance back to God by repenting. Don't meditate. It's not just doing good works. It's repenting. Now, notice what they did. God says to them, return to me, and I will return to you. And what do? The people respond with a question. If you've noticed all through the book of Malachi, they've been doing this. God will say something, and the people will question it. And so God says, return to me, and the people immediately. It's like a spoiled a young person. Every time the parents say something, the young person retorts back and question. And God says, repent, return. And the people said, wherein shall we return? In other words, how do we need to return? What makes you think we need to return? And so God gives them an example of the distance between him and the people. He gives them an example. And you know what the example is? Not paying their tithes. He says, if you're wondering how you're away from me, if you're wondering why you need to return to me, let me give you an example. Look at your tithing. That is the example, their lack of tithing. So verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And you say, here they go again. They're going to question again. They said, the people said, well, how have we robbed thee? Can you imagine arguing with God this way? How have we robbed thee? And God's quick to give an answer. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, let me just give it real quick. A little bit of information here. You know this, but I want to emphasize it. A tithe, when you hear the word tithe, that's just the old English word for tenth. Tenth. And literally in the Old Testament, the tithe was a tax to take care of the tabernacle temple, a tax to take care of the Levites who served and taught the people, and a tax to take care and to support the priest that led in worship and took the sacrifices and the blood and all of that. It was a tax. And if you get to reading in Scripture, it added up to about 25 to 30% of their income a year. They gave a tenth, but they gave a tenth at different times. And so if you add it all up, it's about 25 or 30% of their income. Even with that figure, 10%, or 30% of your income, God still requires less than our government does. Okay? So, and so this tenth was something they were accustomed to give because they had a theocracy, and that's the only way they're going to survive is if the worshipers bring the means of support. You got to understand one other thing. We'll put it all together in a moment. At that time, they didn't get paid in currency. It was an agricultural society. And so when they brought their tithe, it was often in animals or oil or grain. That's what they brought. They brought the tenth. I'm sure Brother Sherman's glad he doesn't have to count chickens. Brother Bill, you don't have to measure the oil when people pay their tithes. But that's an agricultural society, and that's how they paid it. And so God says, you have robbed me. This is another interesting thing you probably only cover in Bible study. When God says you robbed me, he uses a Hebrew word that literally means you've Jacobed me. He's just addressed them as the descendants of Jacob. Remember what Jacob's name meant? Jacob's name literally meant cheat. And so when God says to the people, you robbed me, he said, you Jacobed me. You have cheated me out of what is mine. Strong words from God. You've cheated me. In other words, God says, you come to the temple like you're going to worship, but you don't bring your tithe. And you come to the temple and you benefit from the teaching of the Levites and you benefit from the worship of the priests, but you don't support that. Let's bring this all together. What God is saying is they're no longer into the things of God. Their hearts are out of it. They quit putting anything into their worship. And evidence that they quit putting their heart into their worship is that they have quit putting their tithe into their worship. So let's move on. What does that all mean today? Well, God isn't saying to the people, you're in trouble because you don't pay your tithes. We got to get this. God's not saying you're in trouble for not paying your tithes. He's saying the fact that you don't pay your tithes shows that you're in spiritual trouble. You're not in trouble for not paying your tithes. Not paying your tithes is evidence you're in spiritual trouble. He's saying you don't pay your tithes because you've lost your fire for the things of God. You've lost your interest in worshiping me. You don't pay your tithes because you're distant from me. And so let's bring this together tonight. From Malachi, tithing first and foremost is not about the money. Tithing is about the worship. There's something about when a person's all out for God, when their heart burns for God, they want to give to the Lord. And they give this tenth. You know, let's read this verse here. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, all these Israel, you've robbed me. You see, in the Old Testament, spiritual blessings and curses were revealed through material prosperity. That's the way God did it, to show. If you're blessed of God, you're going to have more cattle. If you're cursed of God, your cow's going to get sick and die. That's the way it was evidenced in the Old Testament. And God's not saying you're just cursed and you're not blessed because you don't pay your tithes. He's saying you're cursed and you're not blessed because your heart isn't in your worship. And I know your heart's not in your worship because you're not tithing. Although it does affect our finances. Listen to me. Although not tithing does affect our material affairs, it primarily isn't those natural curses or natural blessings that tithing's all about. It's about the spiritual blessings. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to judge. I'm just trying to give you an illustration. But I doubt that Donald Trump pays 10% of all his income to the church. He may, but I don't think so. We don't have his tax returns yet, but I doubt it. And yet, how many would have to say he's more materially blessed than you are, and you pay your tithes? You see, it's not just about material blessings. And I'll tell you something else. I have known of folks that were faithful to pay their tithes, and their car's always blowing up, and their roof's always leaking, and their kids are always getting sick. And what I'm trying to say, this isn't really about material blessings or cursings. This is about spiritual blessings and spiritual curses. I tell you what, I would a lot rather have no retirement, have a broken down car and a leaky roof of my house, but to know that my children and grandchildren serve the Lord. I'd rather have that blessing. Wouldn't you? Amen. And so many wonder why things are wrong in their spiritual life. They don't have a giving heart. And if you don't give of your tithe, you don't have a giving heart in worship. You won't lift your hands when it's hard to lift your hands. You won't pray when it's difficult to pray. It's tied together. Therefore, from everything Malachi says, tithing is an indicator of how into my worship of God that I am. You know, here's the truth of the matter. I can tithe and not really be giving myself wholly to God. But I challenge you, how can I wholly give of myself to God and not tithe and give of my finances? Can I say it one more time? And I'll move on for sake of time. But I can not wholly give myself to God and pay my tithe. But I don't know how I can wholly give myself to God and not pay it. It goes together. And so tithing is an acknowledgement that all that a person owns is of God. I've left my pulpit Bible from the wedding. I've left it in there. I like to hold it here. But if you go to the Old Testament, it went like this. Israel, you're my people. Everything you have, I've given it to you. The land is my land. You are tenants. You are tenants of my land. You bring a tithe to show that the land is really my land and to show that I am the Lord of that land and you're just a tenant. And so the tithing was always this acknowledgement that they themselves were but recipients of what God had given them. It's still God. They're stewards of it. But the tithe was a way of saying, God, everything I own, everything I am, it came from you. And by giving this tithe, I acknowledge it's all from you. It's all from your hand. Amen. How many has anything that did not come from God's hand? And it was acknowledgement of that. And it went beyond that by saying, God, not only am I acknowledging that everything that I am and have is yours, I'm also re-giving myself and everything I am to you. That's the tithe. So what should we do? That's the next question. That's what it all meant. What should we do? Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. I'm reading a history of Jerusalem right now, and I've read where archaeologists have dug up on the Temple Mount and below all these little cubicles that were attached to the temple grounds in the temple, and they're storehouses. You can see it inscribed on there. Because see, again, agriculture, you pay your tithes in oil, in dried fruit, yada, yada, yada. And so people would come bringing all these gifts. Well, they had to have a place to store it. And so even today in archaeological digs, you can find these storehouses. Amen. We, first of all, what should we do? We should pay our tithes. We should pay our tithes. You know, I was going to mention this at first, and I didn't. And don't do it, but you could do it. If you do a search on YouTube or podcast, you'd be surprised of how many even pastors are coming across this way anymore. It's stupid to believe Christians should pay their tithes. I'm serious. There's an attack in the church, and it all comes under this real holy guise of we're not under the law anymore. None of that applies, and we're set free from everything. And we don't need that. And there's an attack on paying tithes. But we should pay our tithes. Yes, tithing was a part of the Old Testament. Yes, tithing was a part of the Old Testament law. Yes, Jesus fulfilled the law. But the purpose and the principle of tithing has never change. You can say we're not under the law of tithing, but I would say the principle of tithing has never changed. We'll look at that in just a moment, but notice what Jesus said in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. Most people stop right there. Jesus rebuked them for paying their tithes. No, he didn't. He rebuked them for being so exact in the offerings that they gave, and yet they were stingy in mercy and faith. He's not saying you ought to have mercy and faith and not pay your tithe, because read on. He said, these you ought to have done. What? You ought to have paid your tithe. But it means nothing if it's not a part of a work of God in your heart where you also show mercy and faith and love. And so Jesus, New Testament, he said you ought to have paid your tithes. It's just not something to do by itself. Many people emphasize that over and over. Tithing is not a law because it's not in the New Testament. It was a part of the Old Testament law. And I would have to say, listen, it's a principle. And you need nothing more than this to know this. Every time they say tithing is the law, they're forgetting something. You read about tithing happening before the law. Because Abraham, when he was blessed with victory in the spoils of battle, and he met the king Melchizedek, God didn't have a law that said, Abraham, you need to give a tithe. He didn't hear a voice of God say you need. No, Abraham, because he was grateful for what God had done and gave him a victory, he just automatically gave a tenth to show that he was worshiping and honoring God for his blessings. And so when anybody begins to tell you, you don't need to tithe because that's of law, that's the law, say, wait a minute, tithing was before the law. There was no law. There was just people who wanted to worship. Abraham and Jacob and others, they wanted to worship, and it was an innate thing. Listen to me, that's so important. It was an innate thing that if I'm going to worship God, I'm going to give something to him to show my worship. And innately, no law, innately Abraham gave 10%. Look what it says in Hebrews 7, recounting this. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. That's before the law. And so I would like to say the principle of tithing is this. It's a worship response. Grateful to God, acknowledging God, hearts full of a desire for God. People gave to God a tithe. I would briefly say tonight that tithing as a principle is so beneficial. It gives so much structure to all of our lives. How is tithing beneficial? I'm not going to give you this whole spiel here, but these are important things. It brings financial discipline to your life. If you're disciplined enough to reserve a tenth to give to God, you will discipline other things in your life as well, which leads to a similar thing. Amen. Tithing is beneficial because it'll teach you to budget. It will. If you're going to have that 10% to give the Lord, you've got to budget. If you don't budget, it won't be there. And that's why many of you found that the first check you write is your tithing check, and that budgets the rest of it. But let me tell you other important blessings of tithing. Amen. Tithing breaks the power of money over our lives. It does. How many knows God still said you cannot serve God and mammon? Money can get a hold of you. Material things can get a hold of you. But in every week you bring your tithe to the Lord. That's breaking the power of materialism and money over your life. Something else that tithing does, it keeps the focus where it ought to be. And then a very important part of tithing, it's never changed. Tithing fulfills the purpose of taking care of God's house, God's ministers, God's ministries, God's needs. And having said all this, it's still true. God doesn't need our money. We need to give. That takes us out from underneath that law of tithing. I'm not doing it because God needed the money and he said, thou shalt tithe. I'm tithing because I need to tithe. It does something in the release of my spirit in worship. So we need to just tithe. And secondly, we begin tithing by giving ourselves in worship. You see, you've got to understand something about tithe and offerings. The very word offering means to lift up. It means to lift up and to give. And so, Brother Brian, if you brought your offering to me as a priest or your tithing, which often was an animal, but in particularly, if you brought your offering to me, I would take it and I would lift it up to God like this before I put it on the altar. That's what tithing is. It's just another form. That's what offering is. It's another form of lifting up worship to God. May we see that? I know you may be dropping it down into the plate, but when you drop your tithe and your offering into the plate, that's extended to God. That's lifted up to God. Do you see the worship in this? Maybe we ought to start doing that just like they did with the meat. We ought to lift it up to God first like this. I'm worshiping you, Lord. I'm giving it to you. And I don't have time to talk about the difference between tithes and offerings. The purposes are different. But particularly when you get to the offerings, we see how it's all about worship. And so let's bring this all together. We need to realize what tithing is all about. It's about my attitude. When I tithe, I show my gratitude and humility of all the good in my life that that has come from God that God loaned me. And secondly, tithing is a principle. I give to show that I'm God's, all that I am, all that I have. I give my tithe to show Him. I'm going to give Him my time. I'm going to give Him my resources. I'm going to give Him my person. I'm going to give Him my future. I'm going to give Him my career. I'm going to give Him my relationships. Amen. I tithe in the principle to show that I'm giving to God. And we got some young marrieds in here, but let's suppose we were at a marriage conference and the speaker got up and said, "Listen, husbands, I want to tell you something. You need to tell your wives every day that you love them." Now think if I, a husband, said, "Well, you know what? That's a good law. He laid down the law. He told me I need to tell my wife every day that I love her. I'm going to fulfill that law." Amen. And so I go home. I got to tell her I love her. I got to tell her I love her. That's the law. I got to tell her I love her. What's going to happen if I don't? God might zap me. No. I would go home and every day I would tell my wife, "I love you." Not because I'm afraid that God's going to zap me if I don't. Not because I think that if I tell her I love her every day, she'll cook more meals or better meals or be kinder to me or more loving, though that might play in the role somehow or the other. No, why would I go home and follow that? Not because it's a command that's weighing over me, but because I recognize that's a good thing to do. That's what I want to do. She's my wife. I love her. I want to tell her every day that I love her. Now, life being like it is, even it may come to the end of the day, and I haven't told her yet. So I think of that. Tell her you love her. I don't think of it as a law. I think of it as a principle of something I want to do because I love her. And that's what tithing is. It's not a law hanging over us. God's going to zap me if I don't, or He's going to bless me if I do. No, that tithing is something. That's what the Bible lays out as a principle. But that's what I want to do. I want to come to church, and I want to put that in the offering plate to say that my life belongs to God. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm going to glorify God with my spirit, with my body, with my money. I'm going to give in glory to Him. And last of all, tithing is a purpose. I'm going to give because of the purpose. When I give my tithing, I'm contributing to the care of God's house, His ministers, His ministries. Some people never realize that. Amen. I'm not speaking for myself. We as pastors are treated so kindly, and the board makes sure of that. But there are many folks in many churches that never think that when they don't pay their tithes, they may be taking food off the preacher's table. They never think that. They never think about that. Listen, young people, I don't mean this unkind in any way. I just want us to think about this. But there's been many young people that have sat where you sat, that had every youth camp paid for, meals paid for, conferences paid for, the utilities for a youth night, volleyball nets bought, this and that, over and over, week after week, month after month, year after year. And some of those young people have never put any money that would contribute to anything the church has done in the offering plate. There comes a time that we realize, amen, whether we're young or older, God, you've given and given and given. And God, through the church, you've given and given. I want to give back. I want to be a part. I want to contribute. You know what happens? When you contribute, you're more of a part of that thing than you've ever been. You've made an investment into it. It's not always true, but generally it's true that the people who most faithfully support their church are not the ones with the complaints. Why? Because they've invested in it. Please forgive the carnal illustrations just coming to me. They've got a horse in the race. So why are they going to criticize the horse? Amen. They've got an investment made. What will God do? Would you come, music? Verse 10. He said, "Prove me now if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room to receive it." You give to God because He's given to you. And you know what He does? He gives back to you far more than you ever gave to him. Isn't that what it said? Prove me now if I won't. You know, here's the thing, and this is a favorite picture of the Bible. I'll open the windows of heaven. But I'll tell you what the picture I have. I've been up in northern Missouri where my wife's brother-in-law and sister farmland for miles and miles, and I've seen those big, tall grain bins, and they'll have an opening somewhere. I see this picture. I'll open the windows of heaven of a grain bin full of grain, and somewhere on there they throw open a window or the whatever's been enclosing that, and they open it up, and the grain being so full that the grain just starts pouring out. And God said, would you give to me? Would you pay your tithes? Just prove me and see if I just don't open that window on the grain bin and just let the grain come pouring. And never forget, we're not of that persuasion. We're not talking about necessarily a fancier car, a better job, though God may bless you with all of those things. But we're talking about opening the windows of heaven and the grains of his mercy and his love and his strength. Amen. The spiritual blessings on our life come pouring. That's what God will do. Prove him. Try it. He'll bless you. Verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He'll no longer destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit. You see, you can make lots and lots of money and still never get ahead. Disaster keeps hitting you. Reverses and setbacks keep coming at you. But God said, when you give to me, I'll hold the devourer off. How many knows what I mean about the devourer? You just think you're getting ahead and here comes the devourer. Amen. Amen. God said, I'll keep him from getting to you. Amen. You have something, but the devourer takes it away. It's same with the spiritual things. I've seen it in church. God moves. He blesses. He talks and gives a word. And before people have driven off the parking lot, the devourer has taken that away. Let me tell you how you circumvent that. Amen. The tithing is just an example of that. You say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you my life, my resources. And God says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and bless you. And he speaks a word into your life. He encourages you with his spirit. But he'll do something else if you have that attitude. I'm giving my... He'll make sure that when you walk out on the parking lot, the devourer won't get to you and take away the word of God and take away the blessing. Amen. Why? Why? Because you've given it to God. Given yourself to God. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed. Not only will you see how God's blessing you, other people will see how God's blessing you. Would you stand? Not to tithe is to say, I can handle my money on my own, thank you. Not to tithe doesn't just say, I can handle my money on my own. Not to tithe says, I can handle my life on my own. I can handle my soul on my own. But to tithe is to say to God, here, God, you handle it. Did you know when you tithe, that's what you're saying about your finances? Here, God, you manage my finances. When you give your life to God, you know what you're saying? Here, God, you manage my life. How many knows God's a greater manager than any of us? Hallelujah. And so from Malachi, I learned that my giving is a thermometer that measures the heat of my spiritual fire. My giving, whether it's a missions offering, whether it's a tithe, whether it's to somebody in need, my giving is a literal thermometer that measures my spiritual. I challenge you. Get on fire for God and see if something in your heart doesn't rise up that says, I want to give. I want to tithe. I want to give in the mission. And I've just got to preach the truth to you. Amen. If you have fallen to that place, a mission service doesn't move you. You don't care to give. You don't care to bless somebody. Amen. You don't care to tithe. I promise you, something is very, very, very wrong and cold in your soul. Malachi said the proof of your half-hearted worship is that you don't tithe. Hallelujah. A man can tell his wife, I love you, and not really love her. But if he really loves her, he'll tell her, I love you. We'll just come. Amen. Ask the Lord to have his word settle in our hearts tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I bring you my life. I bring you my heart. I give myself to you. I give myself completely. I give myself totally. I give in every aspect. Hallelujah, Lord, and improve. I give of my finances. Hallelujah. I bring tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. I'm not under a burdensome law. I'm just following the principle that worship is to give. Worship is to give. And give is to worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, you've been so